And Trader and Abe's still with
us. Are you funning me, Jack?
No.
Dean scratched his head, eerily mirroring the motion and posture of his father when puzzled.
I swear I don't ever recall seeing a vid arcade in a redoubt. Seems I'd remember a hot pipe like that.
I know. Especially since that one game blew our asses sky high.
What are you talking about?
Jack wasn't much for talking under the best of conditions, and the last thing he wanted to do was try to enter into a detailed description about the past in the middle of an electronic maelstrom like the Freedom Mall's vid arcade. How to summarize one of the stranger redoubts the group had ever visited? The underground installation had been small, tiny even, with only a matrans chamber and an upstairs series of rooms containing administrative offices, a small cafeteria, smaller armory, stripped down living dormitories, and secured nuke power plant. No elaborate maze or top secret labs, just enough in the way of supplies and room to house a staff to keep the matrans gateway open and properly functioning. The redoubt's setup didn't even possess the usual military design. There was no sense of permanence in the evacuated rooms. Surprisingly, the redoubt contained a well-equipped amusement center, filled with a dozen sophisticated arcade-quality video games. Jack remembered Dean being so excited, the boy had to be physically restrained by Ryan when the arcade was first discovered. In fact, Dean and Ryan both were as physically and mentally exhausted as could be at the time, what with having to endure three Matrans jumps in a row.
That's it.
What?
You and Ryan took a triple jump. First, all came to Western Islands from Maine. Then you got stuck in the chamber, door accidentally closed, jumped back to Maine. Ryan used the LD button and went after you. Then you both jumped back to the islands. Must have triple fried your brain, make you forget the arcade. Memory loss caused by jumps.
Makes sense, I guess. I do remember something about jumping, and Dad coming back to get me. Yeah, you're probably right, Jack. Good thinking.
Thanks.
Still don't explain how our asses almost got blown out of our britches.
But that happened later when you and me went to play games. Just like this time, only nobody else in the arcade. WAG game had grenades in it, trapped. You deaf a little while after the boom.
Damn, I don't remember any of that. Not even being deaf.
It happened.
Don't doubt it. Dangerous stuff.
Dangerous enough to stop playing more vid games? I could sleep by now.
Ha! I don't think so. We had some creaky old stuff on a Commodore 64 back at Brody's. Educational shit, mostly. But there were some okay arcade simulations. Still, they were like fighting with wooden sticks instead of hand blasters compared to these games.
As the boy tried to make a decision among the few unoccupied games, Jack decided to make the best of it. The albino went directly to a three-dimensional target console with the unlikely name of Blood Hunter in Dimension 2000. He gripped the stock of the rifle, bolted to the control console of the simulator, and sighted a phosphor dot target. He looked down for the coin box, but the front of the console was smooth. He decided these games didn't need Jack to function. Jack pulled the trigger a few times, but nothing happened.
Don't work. Sight's off, too. Not shoot shit with this blaster.
Push one of those buttons. The one that says fire.
Nothing. Game busted.
It's your brain that's busted, dickwad. You need tokens to play.
Good one, Brack.
A boy, all of 14 years old, with close-cropped blonde hair and an orange and brown pullover knit shirt and jeans, was standing behind Dean and Jack. At his side was an older boy, closer to Jack's age. The older of the two was dressed in a pair of green cut-off denims with a yellow shirt. Long, lank black hair hung down across his eyes. His sartorial splendor was topped off by a yellow and purple baseball cap, worn backwards, with a patch on the front that read, Pac-Man Fever.
Tokens! Right. We need to get him back at the office like the guard said.
No slots.
Yeah, slots! On the side. Not on the front, see?
The older boy pointed at the side of the controls. Jack looked, and indeed the console had the activation controls on the left side, instead of in the front at crotch level, like the vid games he'd encountered in the redoubt.
Huh, different. Not on the front.
No shit, genius! Now if you're not gonna play, move! Dex and I got better things to do than stand and watch you and your little buddy figure out how to put the tokens in the game.
You got a mouth, don't you?
So do you. And you can use it to kiss my ass if you keep bothering us.
How about I stomp your head? Won't take long.
Neither of the boys appeared impressed. Brack sneered at Jack.
Big talk, Spooky! Try it, and Maul Sekhmet will show up and kick the shit out of you.
Jack spotted a telltale bulge under Dex's shirt tail. The older boy was healed, a gun close at hand. Jack had his own Colt Python, but left it holstered. He was considering the risks and developing a mental picture of the pair of snide punks on the ground, broken and bleeding.
Might be worth it.
I ain't scared of you.
Me neither.
Jack abandoned his impassive stance. Playing nice wasn't in his nature anyway.
You should be. Should be pissing your pants right now.
Dean took Jack's arm and shook his head.
Smoke it, Jack. You're supposed to be keeping me out of trouble, remember?
Next time you talk shit, you get chilled.
Jack's ruby eyes blazed at the insolent pair of teens as he allowed Dean to lead him away toward the back office. To their credit, Brack and Dex kept their mouths shut. The door of the office was open. Dean and Jack walked in and waited for the seated figure in the dress suit to look up. That was if he could be bothered to stop his rapid writing of numerals in a thick ledger book to notice their presence. The man was doing his mental computations in pen and by the light of a single oil lamp.
What?
You Templeton?
That's me. Who are you?
Clients, I guess. Need memberships and tokens. Guard said you'd take care of us.
The prices are on the board.
The jowly man pointed at a chalkboard hanging on the wall behind him. Prices were listed in different colors of chalk inside a pre-printed grid. The numbers were hard to read in the low lighting, but not impossible.
Why do you keep it so dark back here?
Saves money. Juice costs jack. Vid games take a lot of juice. I can use candles and oil lamps 10 times cheaper.
What do you think, Jack? It's your money.
I don't know. Not good with figures.
Dean studied the board some more, calling up his own knowledge of mathematics from both his time spent in school and what his mother had taught him at night when he was little. A handy mall rate of exchange with the official silver logo of the Bank of Freedom printed on top was also thumbtacked next to the cluttered blackboard.
What do your gold wafers weigh, Jack?
Jack stuck a hand in his pocket and caressed one of the pieces. He flicked his ruby gaze at Dean.
1/10 of an ounce, maybe?
Don't let him know you've got more than one. The way this chart reads, we should be able to get out of here with a membership and 10 vid games each. Maybe more games if he's really honest, which I doubt.
You two ready to deal or what? We don't like loiterers in here. Get enough of that outside. People waiting and watching. That's why we have a membership fee. Keeps out the riffraff.
Jack took out a single golden wafer, just as Dean had suggested, and waved it so that it sparkled in the lamplight.
What's a hurry? Here's Jack. Buy us a membership in games, right?
Let me see that.
The owner reached out a chubby hand. Jack dropped the light piece of metal into the fat man's palm and waited. Taking the golden wafer, Templeton weighed it, deciding by feel and texture how much gold was there. He then held it between thumb and forefinger up to his face and surprised the two friends by sticking out his tongue and licking the surface. For a second, both Jack and Dean feared the man might decide to swallow the gold. But as a finale, he followed up the oral caress by biting down gently on the wafer and removing it before nodding his approval.
You slice it thin, don't you?
Lasts longer that way. Still enough to buy you a new suit.
What's wrong with my suit?
Templeton put the wafer on the desk, where it glinted in the lamplight.
You're metal, boys. Feels real enough.
Is real.
So you say.
How'd it taste?
Tasted good.
So is there a problem?
I don't know, is there?
You think we try to cheat you? Maybe we go elsewhere.
Jack made to reach for the wafer, but Templeton moved incredibly fast for a fat man and snatched up the gold. Dean knew that Jack had purposely let him do so. No one on Earth was faster than the long-haired albino when the teen put his mind to it.
Hell, boy. Nothing personal. I think everybody under 30 tries to cheat my ass. You wouldn't believe some of the kinds of counterfeit Jack punks your age have tried to pass off on me. Thick or thin, coins or nuggets, paper currency or fake charge chits. I've seen more bootleg precious metals than you'll ever know. More fake Jack floating around freedom than the real thing.
What's your deal?
A good one. Your gold tastes right to my teeth and tongue, so I'll give you what you need.
He took out 2 red lapel pinback buttons and held them out to the waiting Jack and Dean. They took the offered pins and looked at them with puzzlement.
Wear these at all times while in the arcade. If you lose your button, you have to ante up for a new one. That says you're members now.
What about the tokens?
I'm getting to them.
The man reached down to a silver device attached to his wide leather belt and pressed a thumb trigger rapidly, releasing a series of small, flat, round metal coins.
10 tokens each.
Bullshit.
There you go again. You albinos make it hell to do business with any sort of wit.
Want 20?
each.
Don't try and rogue us, mister.
Dean wondered where Jack was going with his request to double the deal, since he knew that they'd already decided that an offer of 10 tokens and membership was fair. But he got it when the larger man shook his head with a pained expression.
Damn, a haggler. Christ save us all from hagglers. Okay, 15 each.
18.
Templeton's eyes bugged out and he looked as though he were about to have a heart attack.
God damn it, boy, this ain't no roadside carny. Things are more cut and dried here. You want deals, go to a Ville flea market, find a street peddler, dig in the graveyards, but don't hassle me with trying to skim a better deal than retail price.
Jack crossed his arms and stared down the fat man, his ruby eyes glittering dangerously in the lamplight. Dean decided to play along and pulled a solemn face.
When he gets like this, mister, he'd rather cheat himself out of having a good time than spend extra Jack on entertainment he thinks is a ripoff.
No refunds.
That's what you think.
Jack allowed himself a feral smile, his lips peeling back and revealing his sharp, canine teeth. The owner frowned.
17, my final offer. Otherwise, we can get as nasty as you want to be, son.
Jack turned off the evil, disconcerting grin, and Templeton visibly relaxed. Dean hid a smile.
Deal.
Excellent.
Templeton thumbed the coin changer at his side rapidly, spitting out the rest of the needed tokens to activate the vid games. Jack and Dean left the way they came in and entered the arena of noise and hypnotic rainbow lights.
Didn't know you knew how to haggle, Jack.
Sure. What game first?
We wait.
Jack shot him a look of sheer exasperation, and Dean gave him a confident grin.
Hang with me, Jack. If we play some of these games nobody else is on right now, we're wasting tokens. I got a theory. See, they're punk games. Shit vids that regulars stay away from. I think the most popular games are the ones you have to wait a turn on.
Makes sense. Which one you want to wait for?
That red and black game. The one called Mortal Kombat.
Dean nodded to where Brack and Dex were playing MK. They had their backs to the two newest members of the arcade as they busily worked the joysticks and buttons.
Same one that assholes from earlier messing with?
Uh-huh.
All right.
Dean and Jack stepped past Mortal Kombat and stood behind another game. But that one hadn't even earned a passing glance from any of the young people in the busy arcade. The game was called Space Invaders, and even to Jack's untrained eye, the unit's graphics and controls looked primitive.
Rather wait for something good than rush into a bad game.
Uh-huh.
Jack tuned out the racket of the many games and voices as best he could, while thinking to himself that Doc's verbal jousting might not be so bad after all. Ryan hadn't been flat on his back more than 5 minutes when another knock came from the flimsy hotel door. Christy stirred at his side.
Want me to get it?
No, I'm on it.
He slid from the bed and swung the door open, expecting to see Dean and Jack. But instead, he saw freshly showered and shaved Doc.
Ryan, might you be interested in joining me for a nightcap to celebrate today's victory of man over machine?
No thanks, Doc. I'm whipped. Just want to get some sleep.
Doc assumed an understanding look as he pushed away a stray white hair that had broken loose from the rest he'd combed back from his high forehead.
I can certainly share agreement with your exhaustion, friend Carter. Indeed, you have earned your rest.
Great. Well, good night.
You do know young Dean and Jack both have ventured out.
They dropped by.
Ryan took a step back from the old man, mentally willing him to leave. Doc smiled, blithely oblivious to the mental vibrations.
I was convinced you were aware of their absence, but wanted to let you know all the same. Growing boys are growing boys. Well, Jack really isn't a boy anymore, but you gather my meaning.
Right.
Well, if needed, I will be in that smoky little pub located on the upper level of this mammoth monstrosity, next to the front entrance of the lobby to our humble abode. I think a stiff drink of good whiskey might settle my sleeplessness.
Right. Good night, Doc.
Ryan closed the door and walked back to the bed.
Next time, I swear, I'm not telling anyone where we're staying. What?
Ryan woke up in the dark, bathed in a fine sheen of sweat. His recently re-injured shoulder throbbed dully, in time with a pounding in his head. He reached out and felt around on the small end table next to the bed for his wrist chron. He thumbed the button, and the glowing dial revealed the time to be 4:17 a.m.
Something wrong?
Maybe. You stay put while I check the other rooms. I'll start with Doc's. Dean and Jack were supposed to be going out for some fun at a vid arcade tonight.